Magi bow down before you. We are here bowing down our heart before you as well. Speak to me. Speak to us, to each and every one of us. Let all ears hear your word. Let changes happening, not because of we are good, but because you are great. Speak to me, Lord Jesus. Fill me and lead me in this very moment. Let your will be done. And this is your moment, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Everyone say, Amen. Thank you, worship team. Please sit down, church. Thank you. Welcome to Om Tante, Bapak, Ibu, Sir, Madam, to church, praise center to Melbourne. If you haven't been coming to Melbourne for hot summer, then welcome. We just had a good 40 degrees for the past couple of days. And continue to pray as well for the bushfire in Sydney. But yeah, this is Melbourne, and welcome. My name is Jimmy. If you haven't seen me around, I'm a pastor for the under 18 kids or teenagers. So I've often been upstairs with the kids, with the young kids. But yeah, welcome. Today, oh, where's my clicker? Right, you're gonna read these scriptures about Christmas. I mean, this Christmas is always—it's not always about Santa and gift, but we just want to remember what is the Christmas all about. But again, it's just the gift of God for us, but it's for us, for our forgiveness of sin, for God's love in our life. Right. We're going to read this. Ruth actually read this verse a couple of weeks ago. If you missed out, then feel free to go to our podcast. But we're going to go through this reading, this passage, but we're going to look the passage from a different point of view. Oh, okay. Right. Visitor from the East. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. I can't see the LCD from that down. I can do it from here, but yeah. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route. I highlighted this one on purpose. For God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. The wise man that we see here, it's called the Magi, which means Majus, or Indo people call it Majus, or it means magic. They expert in science, agriculture, astronomy, astrology, and maybe we're looking at the Christmas card. Christmas card often say three wise men, but actually Bible never say that there are three wise men. And scholars say it actually can be an entourage. It can be a big numbers of people. They've got slaves, they've got soldiers, they've got a servants, a lot of people with them in searching, in seeking Jesus. So they believe in the prophecy that written down in the scriptures for the coming Messiah. The Magi, what we know, believe in the worshiping one true God. So that's why in the previous verse we saw that they bow down and worship in the presence of baby Jesus. What we're going to learn today is about the personal encounter with Jesus, like what the Magi did, Magi experience. After God spoke to them in a dream, they took a different route of their life. When people had personal encounter with Jesus, they will take a new route, another route in their life, another way of life. Initially, the route was planned by the Magi. All right, after we're going to go see Jesus, we're going to go back to our hometown from this road, but it was canceled because God spoke to them through a dream, and they changed their way. The another route in Greek means hodos. I like to say hodos. It means a righteous way. It's also the word that is used by the book of Matthew when he described Jesus as Jesus declared that I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am hodos. It's a righteous way. When we look at another way, we're thinking about repentance. Repentance means coming toward to God. Repentance means we change direction. Repentance means when you are driving on the wrong side of the road, you stop and you turn back. Repentance means we change our position. So there are three changes that happen when we meet Jesus. This, we're going to just study 3 points. Three changes happen when we encounter Jesus. First, change of heart must happen. Heart attitude. I can do it from here, it's okay. Second, change of orientation. Our perspective of God must change. The last one is change of our position. We'll go that one by one, okay? But thank you, Calvin, that brought up one of the first which I prepared. I thought, when did Calvin have a sneak in on my notes? But then he brought up exactly what I'm about to bring up a bit later on in the last topic. Change of heart. Actually, I probably need your help again. Oh, all right, okay. Matthew 6:33 is saying, seek the kingdom of God above all else. There has to be a difference before we encounter Jesus and after we encounter Jesus. Before we encounter Jesus, we focus so much on ourselves. After we encounter Jesus, we should be really thinking and focus more about God. It's no longer about ourselves. That is a real encountering. But again, as a human being, it's easy for us to just focus on ourselves. Just continue doing what we desire to do, consume things that we want. But really, when we encounter Jesus, God and His Word become the priority of our life. We have priority, right, in our life. School, work, money, mortgage. God, where is that? But when we really put God first in our life, the whole priority will be reshuffled. This is what we want to emphasize. God's word can change our attitude and our habit. Our attitude and our habit. We're building a small, healthy habit and attitude. What is the goal of that? is to build our godly character. I probably want to share a few things. I'm sort of a person that like to promise easily. Isn't good. I'm trying to be better in that. So last year, I promised Jovan, yes, we're going to go for running at the end of the year, 2019. That was a promise that I made in 2018. Still 1 year to go. I wasn't really thinking much. All right, but then 2019 comes, mid-year or early this year. Dad, remember, you promised that you're going to run for 10K. Oh, my gosh. All right, still 6 months away. I'm not to worry so much. But then as 4 months, 3 months, 2 months, and he continuously reminding me of my promise to him. Thank God I managed to negotiate from 10K to 5K. So I delivered what I promised. Yes, wasn't fully 10K, but we did it, running nonstop for 5K. I mean, if we're running together, we're enjoying that moment together, and I knew if I'm not running with him, and he just go fly off just before me. But then because he's there just for me to run with him, that is precious. That's what I learned in my little habit. I'm easily can offer promising to someone, especially to my family. They're not going to go anywhere. I just can take them for granted. Right? And we believe that our God is God that never fail. It keep his promises. That's why we continue coming back to him, reading the Bible and seeking him as the most priority of our life. He never offer promise to you and me of about anything. What he said is just the truth. The Magi believe it. They believe in the scriptures that are written down 700 years ago by Prophet Micah. It clearly saying in Bethlehem, the Messiah will be born. And they believe, and they're seeking God for the journey of almost 2 years, not knowing where to go, which is going to follow the star. But they're just consistent and seeking God in their journey. Remember, there is no GPS, there is no navigation, no internet, nothing. They just walk towards the star until they encounter Jesus. That is priority. Priority requires consistency. It's not just once off. Seeking God is not just once off. Today I'm faithful. Tomorrow I'm not too faithful. Next week I'm okay with God. The next 2 weeks I'm going to be with my friends. My priority continuously reshuffle. We get confused. Change of heart requires our small habit, a godly habit to build a godly character. I've been naughty. I haven't been good until my wife said to me, if you keep touching that phone while you're driving, you are not pleasing God. I mean, nobody knows. But since then, I put my phone inside the dashboard or away from things that I cannot reach because I'm just kind of person that had that temptation, like notification, ding, all right, what's happening? I didn't touch, but I tried to look at it. Sometimes I touch, all right? But that's not right. So that's my habit that I really want to change for myself. Not for the sake of the church, not for the sake of, but it's between me and God. So God continue can trust me if I can be trusted with little things. If I can have that integrity on little things in my life. The way I pray as time goes, it slightly changed too. I remember when I was, before entering high school, I finished my Bible reading from Genesis to Revelation. I finished them all. I didn't know what happened, but then I finished in 1 or 2 years. That's before high school. I thought, you must be thinking, oh gosh, you must be good Christian boy. I was just thinking, I have to read the Bible as my checklist, to-do list, so God doesn't get upset to me, and I get the blessing. That's all I do. And by the end, I remember, by the end of reading Revelation, the last verse, of that very last verse, I felt like, finally, it's done. And I stopped reading the Bible for years. It didn't change me, reading the Bible. It didn't build my character at all, finishing the Bible. But when we really come to God, really honoring His words, and we're really seeking Him, expecting Him, we joyfully reading His word, and we know something's happening, and we know someone is listening, that makes a lot of difference. And I am enjoying my lonely time every morning and expecting that God please speak to me. I need you. I need you. It's almost like my coffee time. I want my coffee in the morning, but I have the same dependency with God for my lonely time with God. So reading a Bible, seeking God, is no longer a burden like what I used to be. Because I used just to do it, just tick the box, it's all done. Finally, gosh, I can play games. I didn't feel guilty anymore. Let's go to church. I don't want to feel guilty. What is our attitude when we come to God, when we go to church, when we serve? Is it for you? Is it because you want to be recognized? Is it because you want to be noticed? When we put God first in our life, the way we see everything, our life, money, problems, and everything will change. But thing is, this little habit doesn't just happen overnight. This change is happening over time. It requires consistently. Like the Magi, when they walk towards the star, it took them 2 years. Most of the time they walk at night. And imagine in that sort of desert surface pathway where it's going to be snowing, where it's going to be hot, probably 42 degrees that we had. They had it like flat out for 6 months. Don't know. But they just kept walking, regardless of the circumstances. There are times that you pray and you don't feel that God is there. There are times that you worship, you feel that I'm feeling empty. It just bounced back to the wall. But it doesn't matter. The star is there. You continue to just keep walking towards the star. And that consistently will change our heart and building our godly character. Is there any irresponsible behavior that you have that you need to change? Any addiction that you need to give up? Have you putting God first in your life? Make changes as from now, from a little thing, and put a godly habit in every day of our life. I knew someone, this is a real story. I hope that he didn't listen to this sermon. He's not Christian. I knew someone that at very young age, maybe 8, 10, he consistently stealing money from his mom. He wants something, he wants to buy games or whatever, he just pickpocket, just take a few dollars, $2, $5, $10 in Australian currency. It's not much, it's a little thing. I sort of, oh, okay, is that what you do? Okay, no worries, I don't care, all right. Years and years, years later, I actually heard this guy, the same guy that had been stealing money from his mom since very, very young age. he became like a professional con man. He stole a big box. I'm talking big, massive. A few of you combined mortgage together in Indonesian rupiah. It's starting from a small habit, but it builds up. Now, never underestimate of the small habit attitude of us to change for something. So that is our challenge, to build godly character in our life. Point number two, when we met Jesus, we want our orientation to change. Bible says, do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievement and position. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. You know, as a human being, whether you realize or not, we tend to adore on something. We tend to worship on something or someone. But after we meet Jesus, we really should be only adoring and worshiping him. The meaning of the word world, it means cosmos, which means planet Earth, or people, or the possession. Those three meaning: earth, people, and possession. What the world offers to us now, nowadays, is really to spoil us, give us a lot of temptation to serve our ego. You want everything's done fast, quick. That temptation that we have to really watch for can change our orientation towards God. The salt of the world can lose its saltiness because it's corrupted by the world. And that's because our orientation toward God has been shifted. The initial function of salt is to preserve food, color enhancement, flavoring agent, nutrient source. But what is the salt for when it lost its saltiness? The Bible says it can be thrown away and will be totally waste. Many of Christians, many of ministers, leaders, to serve the church, to serve the community for their own benefit. When they give money to the homeless, it's just to show, to receive any generous recognition. People serving in a community at church just for status. Technology, which is something that we are very familiar with, it can be really our enemy as it continues distracting our time, our priority, especially with God. Do you know why YouTube is more popular than TV, especially for the younger generation? Because with TV, you have to sit down and you have to wait until that show comes out. You have to wait until the advertisement finish. You have to wait until the movie start. With YouTube, it reads you. It reads your history. It reads what you like. It reads your hobby. It just continue bombarding you with things that you like. That is our cultures now. We are bombarded with temptation. And we don't get our orientation right with God, we easily going down. We are easily drifting away. So the question, do we love the world or do we love God more than the world? Just like that initial first saying, do not love the world. YouTube, technology, idol, can change our orientation to our God. Our love and worship and adoration to our God, it should be way greater than anything else in our life. Romans 12:2 saying, do not copy the behavior and custom of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. We can't change ourselves, but we need to open up to God and let God to transform our life. Then it will change the way you think. How do we do that? Back to the first point, by putting God first, seeking Him consistently in our day-to-day life and building a small habit so we can have a godly character in this community. John 3:16, for this is how God loved the world. He gave His only Son. Have you ever wondering, there's a bit of conflict between these two verses. It's saying that God loved the world. But before, it's saying, do not love this world. Right? Because we are different with God. When God loved the world, He loves you. That's why He sent His only Son, to take away your sin, to redeem you, to restore you, to make you new with His sacrifice, unconditional love. But when man loves the world, it's like when we men love YouTube or idol. We love the sin. We love the position. We love everything in it. That serves our desire. That serves our need. That's the difference between these two verses. Second Corinthians 5:17 saying, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, the new life has begun. We heard this verse like hundreds of times throughout the year. When you are new, when you are belong to Christ, you become a new person. I have a bit of illustration on this one. There's a young guy, a Navy officer. It's saying he had his best friend wedding coming up on the weekend, and he put the courage to himself, saying, oh, I really want to go to my best friend wedding, and I'm going to ask, all right, to my captain. So, Captain, can I go to my best friend wedding on the weekend, on Saturday evening? The captain saying, sure, okay, but you must be back to the station by 7 p.m. No, sir, you don't understand. I'm in the wedding. The captain saying, no, you don't understand. You are in the Navy. When you are in the Navy, you are belong to the Navy. The Navy will rule you. They tell you where to get up, where to sleep, when to eat, because they own you. Now, thank God our God is not that extreme and telling us when to eat, what time to eat, or what time to sleep. But the principle is, when we belong to God, He has the authority over our life. Anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The old life is gone, the new life has begun. That is the meaning of ownership and authority. So, back to the question. Do we love the world or do we love the Word of God? It's coming back to us. The last one, change of position. Let's read this one. As He came to the town, which is Jesus, of Bethpage, I don't know how to spell that, and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, He sent two disciples ahead, right? Jesus sent the disciples ahead. Go into that village over there, He told them, as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks why you're untying the colt, just say, the Lord needed it. As he rode along, the crowds spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount Olives, all his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along and praising God for all the wonderful miracle they had seen. Imagine that Jesus sent two of his disciples to go get the donkey. It's a young, it's never been ridden before. Bring it back to me. And as bring back to Jesus ride on it, and people start shouting and praising him, put the garments on the floor, and the donkey and Jesus walking on that path. Imagine this, right? I mean, the donkey never talked to me, but I like to use imagination. If you can read donkey's mind and is saying, oh, right, people are adoring me, people are shouting at me, people are praising me, and I can walk on the garments, on the red carpet. People love me so much. The donkey have that kind of mindset. We're probably laughing and saying, no, not you. Not you, the donkey, but because someone's on you. That's why you have that red carpet, the garments on your walk path. That's why people are shouting and praising at you, but not you, donkey, but because Jesus are on it. Another perspective of this story is Jesus is the one that chose the donkey from the beginning. He told the disciples, there's a young donkey over there, never been ridden before. Bring it back to me. The donkey is young and inexperienced, but it has the privilege to be a partner with Jesus in his journey and in his ministry, together walking to the world, to the city. This reminds us that God chose us to be his children, and we really can partner with him in ministry, in life journey, and really, as an inexperienced donkey, all we should be really thinking that all honor, all glory, everything that we do, that it looks good, is because there's someone on us. It's not because of me. It's not because of that person that makes that ministry successful. It's not because of you that you're smart enough to run the money to make this and that. It's not because of you. Because there is someone on you that believes in you, that takes you as his partner to walk together with you. If we ever think that people are praising us because of who we are, that means that we just don't know our position. Encountering Jesus means it's change of position. There are three kind of authority circle in our life. The word authority itself, it means source and power. The first one, the first authority, it's saying, I'm the king of my own life. I rule my own life. I'm the authority and I make my decision. That is person number one. Person number two is saying, Jesus is the king and I'm stepping down. He's in charge. He takes the shot. He's the master of my life. Person number three is saying, yes, he used to be a king when I was young and inexperienced like that donkey. But as I grew up, as I grew more mature and more knowledge, I slowly stepping up and took over the authority of my life. In government, they call revolution. Which one are we? Am I the king of my own life, ruling my own decision? Or is he really the king? The Magi come to bow down and worship him because he is the king. Can I invite the music team to come? So this is a simple reminder. We are in the end of 2019. We are about to step into 2020 in a few days. How long have we been a Christian for? How long have we been a believer for? Have we really encountered Jesus in our life? How many church services have you attended in the past? You might have reading the Bible more than once, from back and forth, like what I did before high school, finishing it. But my attitude, my mind, everything never changed. We need to have the right attitude to build our godly character. Change our perceptions about the world. I mean, thank God for the blessing that we have the fast internet. You just buy Amazon by two clicks. Thank God for that. But don't let that temptation, the world over, take over our perception towards our God. And if we are successful, don't forget that we are just his donkey. I'm sorry to say, but it's good reminder. If we have that much proud, big-headed in our life, remember, we're just his donkey. And people are shouting and praising him, not because of us, but because someone's on it. Let's have a new commitment starting from today. In 2020, that we're going to build this small habit, healthy habit, to build a godly character, to be a real salt, to be a real light, not just a salt that lost its saltiness, but really to be a salt and a donkey that God can use, that can partner with us, to be a blessing to people around us. Thank you. God bless.
Why don't we all stand up on our feet?
My living home. Oh, hallelujah.
lift up our hand and receive the blessing. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the words. Thank you. You want to change our heart. You want to change our orientations towards you. You want to change our position. Thank you for the reminder. It's not because of us, because of who you are. You're mighty, you are great. And I thank you for everything that you've done. You've been faithful. Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to bless this church. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord give you His favor and give you His divine peace. Continue to walk with God and Holy Spirit every day in your life. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, everyone said, Amen. God bless you guys.